On a hot and sweltering summer of 1963 afternoon, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. delivered one of the most popularly quoted speeches in American history. It was given toward the end of the historic March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom, where nearly a quarter of a million nonviolent demonstrators gathered under their First Amendment guarantees of peaceable assembly to present a grievance to their government to protest for its first-rate citizenship rights. The speech was known for sweeping oratory, with a few lines standing out and quoted frequently. Dr. King's quotation of the Declaration of Independence echoed the essence of the social contract's musings on life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, but the lines that preceded it are more reflective of the speech's revolutionary nature. Channeling the early founders of the United States, King warned of dire consequences should the segregated status quo remain intact. He chided,
"It would be fatal for the nation to overlook the urgency of the moment. This sweltering summer of the Negro's legitimate discontent will not pass until that is an invigorating autumn of freedom and equality. 1963 is not an end, but a beginning. Those who hope that the Negro needed to blow off steam and will now be content will have a rude awakening if the nation returns to business as usual."
This oft-neglected portion of the speech reflected the more practical elements of the nonviolent protest movement. An astute student of the writings of Mahatma Gandhi, Henry David Thoreau, and the mystical theologian Howard Thurman, King believed that if dissent were channeled into creative nonviolent protest, that the likelihood of any movement disintegrating into an orgy of unrestrained mayhem would be nil. Moreover, King's theological training informed the speech in its appeals to revolutionary Christian ideals, like that of Paul, and later intellectuals like Reinhold Niebuhr and Walter Rauschenbusch. Dr. King's clarion call for racial equality was also buttressed by an appeal for racial collaboration and harmony, a harmony that showed the connection between the freedom and liberation of the human spirit and the acquiescence of legal rights. But the most frequently quoted portion of the speech must also be put into context in terms of its rhythm, delivery, and its roots that harken back to the homiletical style of sacred rhetoric that is a staple of the Black church tradition. Dr. King first heard the phrase, "I have a dream," from a young and enterprising preacher named Prathia Hall at a rally about a year from the 1963 march. And King had given a truncated version of the speech in various cities. However, King used the ebb and flow of the phrase in order to succinctly describe the movement's aims and objectives by incorporating the Old Testament prophets and the inclusion of the social gospel. He said,
"I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together."
50 years have come and gone since that historic moment in American oratory. And for the most part, many aspects of the dream have become reality. But in order to make sure that that spirit of idealism continues uninterrupted, it is absolutely vital to understand the nature and scope of the entire speech, to place it in its proper historical context, and to appreciate its contemporary and practical meaning.